All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, Atticus Barron with you guys. Shiroshi B writes in, ugh, Donnie Jr. is much more stupider than Donnie. Well, actually, we did a poll on that, guys, tytnetwork.com/stupid. And it's still ongoing. And right now, senior is actually leading. 58.2% think that Donald Trump Sr. is still dumber than his son, Donald Trump Jr., who's at about 42%. So
no, 58 to 42. By that.
I voted for Sr. as well.
Really?
Yeah, because Jr. is super, super, super dumb. But I really think you can't get dumber than Donald Trump.
No, you're wrong. Because Donald Trump, look, he's the president. He's manipulative. And there's like some, you have to have some level of intelligence to be a manipulative person.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
And
it's
realized,
a different part of his brain. Mm-hmm. And the other parts are completely empty. Yeah, there's at least a case to be made, whereas Junior has no case to be made, I guess.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I feel like even
Junior's the one who like published those emails himself.
But I hear you, but Junior could probably read more than a page at a time. So even Junior probably doesn't say, I mean, nobody knew healthcare was complicated.
He might say that.
Who knows? Yeah. Okay, anyway. We also have tytnetwork.com/dumb. That's who's dumber, George Bush or Donald Trump. And that one, Trump's crushing 80 to 20. Anyways, all right, now, couple other tweets for you guys. Brandon Atkins says, how dumb are you when you need Sean Hannity to lead you to the answers that help you seem less guilty? By the way, and Brandon, he couldn't even pull that off.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, he continued to incriminate himself. And Diva Athens says about the tax cuts that would go to the poor under the Trump tax plan. Mm-hmm. $43, by the way, it was only 40. $43 won't buy you popcorn and two movie tickets. Wow, LA is totally financially out of touch with the rest of the country, just saying. No, it won't. You guys in LA, two movie tickets and popcorn, you're not getting out of there under $40. No way, not even close.
Yeah, I think going to the movies is overrated. I would much rather watch a movie on Netflix and make my own popcorn.
There, she said it. You couldn't stop her. Strong opinions with Anna Kasparian. Okay, let's keep going.
Let's do a new show. Strong opinions with Anna Kasparian.
You think I won't?
I know you will, so I should stop. All right, we're starting with something a little different today. And it's a story that really struck a nerve with me just because you see a difference in the way that cops are reacting to someone who's acting very belligerent. So, actor Shia LaBeouf has been in Georgia to film a new movie, and he was recently arrested for public intoxication. Now, he's had a number of run-ins with law enforcement in the past, but this particular incident was caught on tape. And it looks really, really bad. Now, it all started when he went up to a group of police officers and asked them for a cigarette. At that point, he was obviously drunk. He was obviously acting a little crazy. And so cops felt like they needed to arrest him. And so as a result, there were two videos that were released. The first video was someone filming what was going on. The second video, which was released today, was from the police officer's body cam. Now, I'm going to go ahead and show you guys the first video so you kind of get a sense of why this stood out to me. Take a look.
No, we can't talk nothing.
Listen, I'm not the one arresting you.
Okay. I'm paying my taxes. Get the off my arms.
So we're not going to have a conversation?
No. Okay. You're going to put the off my arms or you be fighting for it. You got a president don't give a about you, and you stuck in a police force that don't give a about you. So you want to arrest white people who give a who ask for cigarettes? I came up to you trying to be nice, you stupid.
Wow. Okay, so that is actually the body cam footage that was released today, and he was speaking or addressing a black cop.
Yeah, right. What he was trying to say, inartfully to say the least, is that in his mind, he helps black people. And he's like, you have a president who doesn't care about black people, you have a police force that doesn't care about you because you're black. Mm-hmm. But apparently Shia is the one guy who cares about black people and would have helped that cop if that cop hadn't just arrested him. But instead, by the way, he was threatening to get him fired because he's rich and powerful.
No, and it actually went further than that. So dash cam footage showed him literally threatening these cops. And first of all, I want to give the cops credit for the way that they handled it, because they didn't let it get under their skin. They stayed completely calm throughout the entire situation. And this is the way good cops, you know, react to situations like this. So enough with me talking. Let's take a look at the dash cam footage.
You're a fucking bitch to the end of your days, and you live that legacy. That's what you signed up for, bitch made whore. If I have my gun, I'll blow your shit up. You're a bitch, though. Ooh. So you got your shit, you do nothing. Except what, homie? Whore. Fucking bitch. Coward. Fuck you and your legacy. You got a kid? Hoso. Hoso, so he can know what the fuck no-so is going. You're a bitch. For leaks. Not for years. A bitch for leaks. You're a pirate, bitch. Bitch. And you put your own kind in the fucking pen. For nothing. You put a white man in the pen for what? You fucking bitch. For asking for a black man for a cigarette? That's your country. I pay my taxes, you dumb bitch. You're about to meet my lawyer.
So believe it or not, he added one thing that made it even worse. He said, I've got more millionaire lawyers than you know what to do with, you stupid bitch.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
So the amount of restraint that you see from the cops is awesome. And look, I want to be fair, because I don't know these particular cops. I don't know how they've handled other situations in the past. But I do know that just yesterday we did a story about a police officer in Georgia beating a homeless woman while she laid on the floor with his baton, right? Luckily, you know, she didn't die as a result of that. But it was just interesting to see these videos and juxtapose these videos to all of the other police stories that we've done in the past. And look, I'm not saying that because I wish that they would have done something violent to him. I'm saying it because these are great cops. This is how you're supposed to handle a situation. And regardless of someone's socioeconomic status or, you know, racial background or any of that stuff, this is how, you know, and it's a difficult job because I couldn't do it, right? If someone's talking to me like that, you think I'm gonna sit there and be calm? Hell no, I'm not gonna be calm, which is why I'm not a cop.
I actually think you're giving the cops in this case a little bit too much credit. So let me get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. But I hear what you're saying, and of course, everything's always slightly different. There's no two cases that are perfectly analogous. But so if a poor person, instead of a rich celebrity like him, mm-hmm. had said, I'm gonna shoot your head off, or whatever he said.
You threaten the cop's life.
Yeah. Oh man, that is not gonna go over well. Okay, now on the other hand, he's already in the back of the car at that point. He's already handcuffed, so you would have to pull over, pull him out, and then kick his ass. So that happens less frequently. It's not like it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, we've done stories of powerless individuals handcuffed in the back of a police car, and then, oh, it turns out that they got shot. They must have shot themselves, right? We've done those stories. So
I hear you. I hear you. So. And it does happen from time to time. Usually it happens in the heat of arresting him, right? Where some cops go way overboard. In this case, they didn't beat him, they didn't do anything so good, and you shouldn't beat poor people or middle class people either. But I actually think that as much of a jerk as he was, and it's really hard to get worse than I've got more millionaire lawyers than you know what to do with. You know, when you're,
what does that even mean, by the way?
That means I'm above the law and I'm gonna get away with this, okay? And rubbing your face in it. And all that racial stuff, so weird. I guess he thinks he's a liberal or something.
I don't know. It just looks terrible. Whoa. And I'm not in his camp at all. Like, that was so embarrassing.
So, but, why did they arrest him in the first place? The official reason is he became disorderly, using profanities and vulgar language in front of the women and children present. It's kind of a weak reason to arrest them.
Cenk, he was obviously belligerent. He asked them for a cigarette, and when they said no, he lost it, right?
No, now, but he's cursing at them, and you're allowed to curse at cops. I know it's not advisable.
You're not allowed to be intoxicated in a public setting, right?
I know, but once you, I know, but that's usually reserved for, I found you to be a pain in the ass, so I'm gonna use public intoxication. When people are drunk all over the place, they pick you out because you curse at them. Now, I'm telling you, it's a super bad idea to curse at cops and to go up to them and then to basically to pick a verbal fight. But even so, you should let it go. It's not illegal to curse at cops. And
I don't know. We don't know all the facts of what he did prior to the arrest, right?
And but so, I'm just using there because what I read was a quote from the cops.
Right.
Disorderly, that's usually you were annoying me. Profanities and vulgar language, so what? In front of women and children, is that a specific law in that jurisdiction? I'd be surprised. Right. In other words, you disrespected a police officer. Good news is we didn't kick the living crap out of you or kill you. The bad news is that's still, I mean, you're stretching to find a reason to arrest him.
He has
as much of a dick as he is.
He has a history with cops. He has a history of doing things.
Do they even know that though, those particular cops?
I don't know if they know that, right? But the reason why I'm bringing up that history is because he's acted this way in the past, right? Which makes me think that, you know, the way he was treating them prior to the videos being filmed and prior to what we have, you know, might have justified them wanting to arrest him, right? So, and by the way, he's a semi-powerful person who's got money and fame, and they decided to arrest him, right? Anyone else in that situation would have definitely gotten arrested. So it's interesting that, hey, in this case, the cops weren't, you know, they weren't.
And they at least did the same kind, in my opinion, false arrest that they would do for a middle class person.
We don't know if it was a false arrest. We don't have all the facts about that.
Yeah, no. And I'm stretching too much. And look, I know what you're saying. In the past, he's threatened to stab his neighbors.
Yeah, attempting to stab a neighbor, refusing to leave Walgreens, and misconduct during a cabaret performance.
But a lot of that is, again, just drunkenness, right?
So oh, yeah, it's totally okay.
It's not okay. And he's got obviously has some issues that he's got to sort out and get some therapy on or whatever, get sober. And way worse could have happened to him, but still, being a dick is not technically illegal.
Okay. All right, so I guess it'll get sorted out in court, but maybe justice won't be served since he's got more millionaire lawyers than we know what to do with.
But you know what, one last thing on it, he actually pulled a Donald Trump there because he might have gotten away with it until he got himself into further trouble by continuing to talk, because him saying that he'll kill the cop in the car, that's definitely a crime.
Yeah.
That's assault. So you don't have to hit someone for it to be assault. Threatening their cop's life is definitely a crime. So if they charge him with that, then he's screwed. And he should be.
At least the one thing we did find out for sure in this story was that, you know, that cop was a bitch for leaks, not years, leaks. What does that even mean?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, I don't think that cop is a bitch. I'm just trying to make a joke. Okay, let's move on.
And what we found out was Shia LaBeouf loves the word bitch.
Okay. He's ridiculous. Okay. The CEO of Qatar Airways is facing some criticism after he publicly and very transparently spoke out about the flight attendants that he likes to employ and the old grannies that flight attendants in the United States like to employ. So let me give you some context before we go to the video. This is Akbar Al-Bakr, and he made his remarks earlier this month during a speaking event in Dublin, Ireland. At that event, he was supposed to commemorate a new flight route between the Irish capital and Doha. Well, you know, he kind of went off on a little bit of a tangent, and we're about to show you, so let's take a look.
The average age of my cabin crew is only 26 years. So there is no need for you to travel on these crap American carriers.
Man, that audience ate it up. Okay, so this is what they used to do all the time back in the day. Mm-hmm. So when the airlines first came about, you would also always have attractive young women who were flight attendants. So then came annoying laws about how you have to be equal and treat everybody equally. Mm-hmm. And so if someone is getting older, you can't fire them just for being slightly older.
Yeah.
Or not hire someone because they're not hot enough. But apparently, if you're in Qatar and you're like, we do that, yeah. They don't have the same laws. We do that anyway, and we rub it in.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I don't agree with his statements, obviously, and he's very old school. Okay, so it's just funny because when I look at him and I hear his statements, I see like an old school, old world kind of person. And then he has the audacity to talk about women being too old to be flight attendants. Whatever. I mean, that's another thing, right? This like weird double standard where like a wrinkly dude like that, and by the way, like he's dishing it out, right? He can stand there and talk about how women look. Right? Because women always need to be young. They always need to be hot. But dudes, they can let themselves go. Like, remember when the dad bod thing was like a thing and people were like, yeah, dad bod, super hot. No, not super hot. How about guys have to have the same, or we have to have the same standards for guys as they have for us? How about that?
Cash me outside.
Cash me outside. How about that? By the way, I'm not that up in arms about this, but there was an angle to the story that I wanted to bring up. Fox News reported this. And the whole like tone that they took was, can you just reinforcing what we already knew? This guy in Qatar is a misogynistic prick. All of a sudden, they care about women's rights, but when it comes to Trump wanting to grab women by the pussy, locker room talk. That's just locker room
talk.
That's
totally fine.
Not a big deal.
He moved on him like a bitch. It's not a big deal. He just tried to buy the furniture. That's all. So we are consistent. We are against the misogynists in America and in the Gulf. Okay, but Fox, when they got their own version of Sharia law, they kind of love it. But when the minute it's Akbar al-Bakr instead of Akbar al-Baker, if that guy's name was, just leave out the Akbar, it would be al-Baker, and he was a right-wing Republican here, they'd be like, oh, what's the big deal? We just did a story today about how Iowa Republicans would talk about going to the office and in front of the other female employees talking about, oh, the lobbyist tits were so big. I like to compare the size of the lobbyist tits, right?
Yeah.
And so Republicans are like, that's fine. It's just locker room. But look at Akbar al-Bakr. Look at him. Okay. So the reality is both are bad. And, you know, and he was talking to business people there. So he's like, don't take the business class, if I heard him right, of those airlines. In other words, projection. If you're a horny old man like me, and you want to be served by attractive flight attendants, I'll get you young, attractive flight attendants. So what are you going to do with those grandmas? Hit on them? Yeah. You can't even sexually harass their flight attendants like you can on Qatar Airlines.
God, and I'm such a softie because Airways. I feel like sick to my stomach that I mentioned his wrinkly face, right? Because it's such a low, stupid thing to say. But the reason why I bring it up is to show like that double standard, right? Like that inability to just reflect on yourself and reflect on the way you look, right? Do you have the same standards for yourself that you do for women? Probably not, right? And it's a societal thing. It's not just true of Qatar. It's true of a lot of different countries. So it's just, it's frustrating and I don't know. But
the entitlement thing is what drives me crazy because he thinks, no, I'm a rich guy from Qatar. Of course, I'm entitled to hot young women and they'll love me because I'm rich. And I'm from Qatar. Don't get me started on Qatar.
Okay, I won't get you started. No, I don't want to get you started. Let's move on.
Okay, all right, let's move on.
Okay. A number of tech giants are speaking out today and titling the day a day of action in order to raise awareness about the importance of net neutrality and how the FCC could potentially dismantle it. Now, Ajit Pai, someone that we spoke about quite a bit on the show, is the FCC's new chairman and he was appointed by President Trump. He wants to scrap the open internet protections installed in 2015 under the Obama administration. Those consumer protections mean providers, ISPs such as AT&T, Charter, Comcast, and Verizon are prevented from blocking or slowing down access to the web. So, you know, a number of these tech giants decided to approach this in different ways. And at first, I was ready to applaud them because I think it's important for them to get involved. But then when I dug a little deeper, I realized that in reality, Reddit is the only one that did something that actually grabbed people's attention. So let's go to that. So if you go to Reddit, You'll see this thing pop up. This is the first window that you'll see. And it basically lets you know that if you get rid of net neutrality, it's going to slow down certain web pages that you might view often. It'll be difficult for you to get the type of content that you like. So it's a pixelated logo that loads in its upper left corner before begging users to upgrade their monthly bandwidth allowance. Meanwhile, a pop-up blocks the page with a message typed out at a frustratingly slow speed. The internet's less fun when your favorite sites load slowly, isn't it? So I love that because it makes people, users, realize the importance of net neutrality if they hadn't before.
And think about it, people who go to Reddit that day are less likely to stick around because they're annoyed by this slow typing message.
Right.
And a lot of them won't even get the message. But Reddit's users are, well, there's a lot of adjectives for them, but they're certainly more sophisticated when it comes to the internet. And so at least most of them will understand it. They're not like the average internet user. But still, they're risking revenue for that day. They're risking some sort of people leaving that day, etc. And they're doing it for the right cause. So all the credit in the world to Reddit there.
Absolutely.
And usually that is the epicenter for the fight back against rules like this.
It is. Alexis Ohanian, who is a co-founder of Reddit, has been fighting very aggressively against dismantling net neutrality. In fact, during the last battle that we had over this issue, he was probably the most vocal member in the tech world. And I love him for it.
Now, and that's a rare place where I think, I'm not 100% positive what the right wing on Reddit think about this, but last I heard, the left wing and the right wing agree on this issue.
Of course, because it affects everyone negatively, regardless of what your political ideology is. All right, so now I'm going to kind of be critical of other tech giants because I feel like they didn't do enough. So let's start with Google. Google has a blog post up stating the net neutrality rules that protect the open internet are in danger of being dismantled. So it's a blog post. You don't see anything if you go to the homepage. You know, they have the Google Doodle. They haven't done anything with that. And I just want to ask, maybe I'm completely unaware and the Google blog posts like are tearing it up. They go viral. Everyone can't wait for the next Google blog post. But I'm under the assumption that no one reads Google blog posts unless they're looking for something involving troubleshooting.
Yeah, so I think that I'm of two minds on this. First of all, I think that the fact that they're doing anything is great because no one's going to independently go to a Google blog post, but it will get included in the press articles.
It will, and I think that's the reason why they did it.
Yes, okay. So one, they can get credit for it, but on the other hand, at least their name is in there as Google is fighting for net neutrality, and that has some effect. And so that's not such a bad thing for people who are either neutral on the issue and can be swayed, but much more importantly, for politicians that Google has some sway over because of political contributions. So we'll get to that angle in a second.
Yeah, okay, so also video game streaming site Twitch has a banner announcement on its channel page while also replacing its global emotes with a spinning wheel for 24 hours. That's good. I mean,
yeah, that's not bad. Look, we can nitpick all these, but I'll take Twitch, that's not bad.
Twitch is good.
Yeah, I'm with you. Of course, I wish that Google had put it on the main page.
Apple's not doing anything so far, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't see Facebook on the list. I know Facebook's been on the list for being for net neutrality, so that's great. I didn't see them doing anything today on this particular day. But look, further context, last time there was a fight on this issue, back in 2015, Obama was in charge, and 4 million people sent in letters saying, please keep net neutrality. Part of the reason they did it, that was already had enormous organic growth, but on one day, again, the tech companies got together and they all put out a statement on their sites saying, hey, fight on this issue. And it worked and it was wonderful. It was bigger than today, okay? But that didn't sway Obama. The conventional wisdom is that swung Obama. It didn't. He did not act after the 4 million letters. He only acted after Google and Facebook and a couple other large tech companies said, finally came out and openly declared, yes, we're for net neutrality. Now, the reason Google and Facebook are understandably on the fence, if you look at it just from their business point of view, is yes, they would have to pay the internet service providers more money. Mm-hmm. So they'd have to pay a ransom to Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, etc. but they're so big they can afford it.
Yeah.
And it would knock out all of the little guys.
All of their competition.
And wipe out their competition. So they're actually, that's why I really, really want to give credit to Google and Facebook. And by the way, there are partners too, I should disclose that. But I want to give them huge credit for at least fighting on this issue, because we wouldn't even won in 2015 if they didn't put their political contribution, at least implied threats behind that.
I completely applaud them for what they've done in the past, but it's a whole new battle. And we have to fight even harder this time around with Ajit Pai and Donald Trump. I'm being unfair because this is just the beginning. You know, there's still some time for them to do something. And so, you know, maybe in the near future they will do something more aggressive and it will have actual results. But I'm just speaking specifically about today. I just feel like they could have done more.
And I hear you on that. But the most important thing is the one we don't have an answer for yet. When you're talking about public comments, this time around there's already been 5.1 million comments/letters sent in to the FCC. So it's not like they don't know which side the American people are on. They know, and the polling shows overwhelmingly that people want net neutrality. So the question is, and Ajit Pai is, in my opinion, clearly systemically corrupted. He was a Verizon lawyer who was brought into the FCC to represent companies like Verizon. And he's just waiting there. He was in the Obama administration too, but he wasn't in power. Trump gets in and he's like, great, who can I service, right? Mm-hmm. And so Trump goes, great, now give my donors exactly what they want, which is the exact opposite of the American people. And the question is, are Google and Facebook and all those guys, are they gonna mount up and fight again when it comes on to the lobbyist level? Because if they engage in that fight, we can win again. But if they even stay neutral, we're done for. And they're going to kill net neutrality.
Net neutrality is like the new reproductive rights fight, right? It just keeps coming back up again and again, every 2 years, again and again. And it's just when you think there's a victory, just wait, because it's going to come back up again.
Yeah, but except in reproductive rights, it's about 60-40 pro-choice. In net neutrality, it's like 90-10. But they still don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And the reason it keeps coming back up is because they got billions of dollars to make. So they will keep on buying those politicians as long as we let them. Yep. Wolf-pack.com, solve the core problem. Okay, let's take a quick break here. We've got more amazing news for you when we return. All right, back on the Young Turks. Robert Searles and Brian Cantwell are our members of the day. Members make this show possible. So help support independent media. Lucky for you, this month it's free. So it's mainly moral support. But yes, we would love to have you. TYTnetwork.com/join to become a member and put in the promo code FREETYT to get a free trial membership for a month. Look, if you don't want it to be free, don't put in the promo code. God bless your heart. That would be amazing. So that you also get the post game, you get the whole show without any ads, and you can watch it anytime you want. Okay, Shiloh Plummer wrote in on YouTube Super Chat, which we're trying to take more comments from you guys on YouTube Super Chat. Anna is still one of my favorite, even when we don't agree. Hope you get feeling better.
Oh, thank you.
That's very nice, I thought.
That is very nice.
Okay, and then Kyla wrote in on Twitter, #TYTLive, strong opinions with Anna Kasparian. 12 out of 10 people will watch this show. Hashtag no really though. I like it, Kyla. And then Brian Newton writes in about the Shia LaBeouf thing. This is the ultimate do you know who I am? Mm-hmm. It is, man. That was an epic do you know who I am. Mm-hmm. Taria Peterside says, don't you just love it when liberal guys feel the need to tell black people to be grateful? Shia LaBeouf is such a fucking clown. And finally, Jeremy Varner says, history tells me Shia is going to get out regardless. The man's never been punished for anything he does. He has undiagnosed affluenza.
Yeah, he got out on $7,000 bond.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, for him, that's nothing.
Two-tier justice system, let's keep it real.
Yeah, for a lot of people, that means you ain't gonna get out because you don't have $7,000. All right, what's next?
All right. Texas has passed a slew of laws that make it incredibly difficult for women to have access to either contraceptives or abortion services. Now, especially women living in rural areas or rural parts of Texas, they have found it even more difficult to find a clinic that gives them the type of healthcare that they need or family planning that they need. And the whole reason why this was done was because conservatives in the state wanted to lower the number of abortions. In fact, then Governor Rick Perry said his goal was to ensure abortions are as rare as possible under existing law. Well, interestingly enough, Texas A&M University decided to do some research to see if these restrictive abortion policies have actually given us the results or given conservatives the results that they wanted. And the truth is, no, it's actually the opposite. So in the first 3 years after Texas Republicans slashed the family planning budget in 2011 and shut down more than 80 women's health clinics, the abortion rate among teenagers in the state rose 3% over what it would have been had the clinics remained open. So if you look specifically at poor rural parts of Texas, they're the most impacted by this. For instance, in Gregg County, where the local health center lost 60% of its family planning funding, the abortion rate increased by 191% between 2012 and 2014.
Wow. So, but overall, on the abortion rate going up when you have less clinics like Planned Parenthood, I have a phrase you might be familiar with on that. Of course, if you have less birth control, you'll have more pregnancies. If you have more pregnancies, you'll have more abortions. So everybody with two bits of sense knows this. So the question for conservatives is, which one do you want to focus on? Because if you want to kill birth control, it is an absolute guarantee that you'll have more abortions. So you can't have both. So you, but you can try, and then you'll have more abortions, and you'll get more angry about it, like, right? But the reality is, if you have more birth control, you'll have less abortions. So make up your mind, which one do you want to go with?
Right. Well, you know, I think that this is indicative of what we usually see with conservatives on this particular issue, because they just flat out reject evidence, they reject data, right? And when you tell them, No, Planned Parenthood isn't an abortion factory. In fact, abortion is a tiny fraction of what they do. They actually offer all sorts of healthcare services and contraceptives. They just reject it. They just think that it's an abortion factory. So in their eyes, shutting these clinics down means less abortion. They just, again, completely flat out deny any evidence that you throw at them. They'll probably read this and think to themselves, oh, yeah. University, liberal indoctrination. No. Okay, well, there's gonna be more abortions. And if your goal is to, you know, stop that from happening, this is a really terrible way of going about it.
It just drives me crazy that we live in a country that's supposed to be secular, where we're supposed to have separation of church and state. And every single day we gotta do a story about one Sharia law or another and how they want us to follow their laws. You know, and then some people online will complain, oh, you guys only talk about the Christian fundamentalists, but you don't talk about all the Muslim fundamentalists imposing their laws in America? Okay, look, we talk about Muslim fundamentalists in the Gulf and in many other areas that do terrible things to their citizens, Saudi Arabia, the list goes on and on, right? What happens in Afghanistan. But here, there are no Muslims in charge. Mm-hmm. There is no Sharia law that is going to get applied outside of Christian Sharia law. And yes, abortion is part of that. So the main reason that they're against abortion is because of their misinterpretation of the Bible. Bible's pro-abortion, but they think it's anti-abortion. That's the only reason why we're having this stupid conversation. And even in the midst of that stupidity, they're like, okay, oh yeah, we're gonna lower abortions. Oh damn, we increased them, but okay, I got a great idea. Let's just ignore the facts, but we'll say we're against abortions, even though we just made them go up.
They're not against abortions, you guys. They're against abortions, but they're not against abortions for the reasons that they say they are, right? It's all about playing into the base. It's about pandering to conservative voters. And more importantly, it's about controlling the lives of women and letting them know you can or can't do this. You don't get to determine the destiny of your own life. It's just pathetic. It's a bunch of insecure middle-aged men running around crying and whining about women having choice. That's what it's really about. So let's move on.
Okay, no, we're almost done. So I'm going to add a random story that I always want to do because it's in this context. So Rick Perry is dumb in so many different ways. He's a former governor of Texas. When he was going to take over the Department of Energy, he thought it was to be an ambassador for the oil and gas companies. No, that's not what the Department of Energy does. Of course, you wouldn't be representing companies. You represent America's citizens, you schmuck. But Department of Energy mainly has to deal with the nuclear weapons, not oil and gas. He's so monumentally stupid. But on the other day, on Friday, he said, you know, you got simple laws of supply and demand. And the more supply you have, the more demand. That's not remotely true. Anybody who's taking one day of Econ 101 would know that that's not true. Laws of supply and demand dictate what price you'll have based on how much supply and how much demand. There's no such thing as more supply gets you more demand. Okay, these are the knuckleheads who run our country. And so it is deeply frustrating that they have any effect, whether it's the effect he had on increased abortions because of decreased funding for Planned Parenthood in Texas, or what he's doing with energy, or his dumbass ideas about supply and demand as it relates to coal in that particular instance. Okay, random story I wanted to squeeze in. We have two more stories for the online audience. That's tytnetwork.com/live. And for the Sirius satellite radio audience, we love you guys. And we will see you tomorrow. And tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. We'll be right back on the Young Turks. Casper, go.
All right. The House Appropriations Committee is attempting to allocate a whopping $1.6 billion to begin construction on Donald Trump's border wall. Now, to give you some more details on the allocation of this money, the $44.3 billion spending bill for fiscal year 2018 earmarks that $1.6 billion to begin construction of the wall. But the bill also appropriates $100 million to hire 500 more US Border Patrol agents, $131 million for new border technology, and a $619 million increase for immigration and customs enforcement above its 2017 appropriation. All right. In March, Trump asked Congress for $4.1 billion to build the wall. He didn't get that, right? And in terms of what the House Appropriations Committee is proposing, keep in mind that both the House and the Senate have to agree on it. And who knows? There are a number of Democrats, obviously, and even some Republicans who are skeptical about Donald Trump's wall. But it's just amazing because he's been in office for how long now? And don't you remember how many times while he was campaigning, he said that he was going to have Mexico pay for it. And when he was asked, how are they going to pay for it? He wouldn't answer. He would dodge the question. Don't take my word for it. Take a look at this.
The former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, he said today, and I'm quoting him, he said, I'm not going to pay for that, quote, effing wall. So if you don't get an actual check from the Mexican government for $8 or $10 or $12 billion, whatever it will cost, how are you going to make them pay for the wall?
I will, and the wall just got 10 feet taller, believe me.
And they're great people and great leaders, but they're gonna pay for the wall. On day one, we will begin working on an impenetrable, physical, tall, powerful, beautiful southern border wall.
Mexico, excuse me, Mexico is going to pay for the wall. And they're going to be happy about it. You know what? They're going to be happy about it.
How exactly are you going to get Mexico to pay for it?
Look, Mexico has not treated us well. Mexico treats us as though we are stupid people, which of course our leaders are.
Do you still want Mexico to pay for the wall?
So that very last clip was actually from this month, July 7th, I believe. And he still thinks that Mexico is going to pay for the wall as he's asking Congress to allocate, you know, billions of dollars to begin construction. He's just such a clown. And people who thought that he was going to have Mexico pay for it, really? He would never answer how. How are you going to make them pay for it?
So ironically, though, he did wind up being proven right about one of the things he said there.
Yes.
Their leaders think our leaders are stupid. Well, mission accomplished. That turned out to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. So here's what's going to happen and what Trump will say about it.
Yeah.
They're going to build a tiny sliver of that wall. And then Fox News, Breitbart, etc. will keep taking video of just that sliver, right? And they'll keep showing it all over like they built the whole wall. Will it be beautiful and impenetrable?
It'll be physical, though. Physical. It'll be physical. It'll be impenetrable and physical.
No, by the way, the reason he said that is because afterwards, after he won, they're like, well, did we say physical wall? I mean, it could be a wall if we just put up a couple of drones. So we're guarding the border, and you can call that a wall even though it's not a wall. So is it going to be 10 foot higher? No. Did he ever have a plan to make Mexico pay for it? Of course he didn't, and you know he didn't have that plan. But so the great irony of Trump running as a populist is that he's actually a classic sleazy politician. Tell you whatever you want to hear. Trump's got it. We're going to do tax cuts for everybody, and we're going to balance the budget. We're going to give you healthcare coverage for everybody, and it's going to be less premiums, and it's going to give you more healthcare within your packages. But that's impossible. It doesn't matter. I got Christmas gifts for everybody, right? This is what they charge liberals of doing, promising everybody everything, right? In reality, that was Trump 101. I'm going to build a wall. I'm going to make Mexico pay for it. It looked, by the time you figure out that I'm a crooked liar, I'm already president. So that was Trump's strategy, and here it is. $1.6 billion would barely pay for the smallest percentage of that wall. You have to spend so much more to get it.
Yeah.
And in some parts, everybody knows that it is not doable because of the geography, and the local conservatives and Republicans fight it tooth and nail. They're like, this is a terrible idea. But nonetheless, he keeps promising it because he's a sleazy politician.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
Anyway, I just wanted to add that in terms of estimates on how much it would cost to complete the wall, it ranges between $10 billion and $70 billion. So let's say in a terrible world where he gets exactly what he wants, that's $10 to $70 billion of US taxpayer money being wasted on what I consider to be a non-issue. Again, no one talks about it, no one cares. More Mexican, undocumented Mexican immigrants are leaving the country than coming in. Leaving. Like, most of them are leaving. They're leaving, okay? Can we please focus on taking care of our own? And for people who think they're coming in here and they're taking your jobs, just please, for like 1 second, read about all these farmers that raised the wages, actually included benefits packages to lure in American workers, and they wouldn't do the work because it's hard work, right? Anyway.
Well, if they took your jobs, since more of them are leaving than coming in, they took them to Tijuana already, they're gone.
Pew Research, please look at it. I'm not making it up. More undocumented immigrants are leaving than coming into the country, and we're wasting our time and our resources on this non-issue.
Yeah, so look, well, their effect on the wages, et cetera, is an interesting question, but is that the number one factor here in what's going on with wages? Not remotely close, it's not in the top 20. But I'll end on a fun Donald Trump tweet. It says, the dishonest media does not report that any money spent on building the Great Wall for sake of speed will be paid back by Mexico later.
Yeah,
sure. He wrote that in January of 2017. So, Anna, there's your answer. It's going to be paid back later.
Okay, sure.
Okay, so that'll mess you. Oh, my favorite part was, and the Mexicans will be really happy to do it because he can't help himself. He just has to add like gratuitous, preposterous lies.
They're gonna be happy about it.
That's right.
Anyway,
the Justice Democrats are gonna break the Republicans' backs and drink their spinal fluid, but the Republicans are gonna be super happy about it. JustDemocrats.com/win. Super random tease. Anyway, what's our situation?
We are about to have an awesome post-game show.
Okay.
And I am going to talk about someone that I caught secretly filming me yesterday.
Ooh, geez, and Lord mercy, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. So it'll be a pretty juicy post-game show. You don't want to miss it.
So I'm starting to talk like the guys in Fargo because I'm catching up on the Fargo from this season. Mm-hmm. Ooh. That's something. We got to talk about that.
I don't watch that show, but I heard it's really good.
Yeah, it's super fun. You know what happens if you mash your potatoes? You get mashed potatoes.
Deep.
Anyways, TYTNetwork.com/join to hear the post game. Lucky for you today. Lucky you. It's free. Free for a month trial membership. Put in the promo code free TYT. Bye-bye.